Courtship. Courtship is the natural preparation for marriage, and it is on the courting that the happiness of a marriage may depend. As marriage is a holy, a sacramental state, the preparation for it ought to be holy also. Young people should remember that the marriage agreement is to be made for life. There is no escape from it. Hence, the time of preparation should be one of thought and prayer. Marriages built only on sentiment and mere physical attraction have but a weak foundation and may not last. The modern romanticism about love at first sight should not mislead sensible young people. The ordinary rules of prudence must be observed. Parents should be consulted, and as a rule, their consent should be obtained. There are exceptional cases, of course. The fact that two people are engaged to be married gives them no right whatsoever to stimulate mutual sex feelings and appetites. The ultra-modern idea that sex compatibility must be determined before marriage to save future disasters is completely wrong. Evil means may not be used to attain any object, no matter how good, and sexual intercourse outside of marriage is in itself evil. It is an assault on the institution of marriage. When engaged in, it will kill family life. It glorifies self-gratification. It brutalizes woman, and it degrades man. Quote, "Take heed to keep thyself, my son, from all fornication, and beside thy wife never endure to know a crime." Tobias 4:13. Quote, "You have heard that it was said to them of old, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, that whosoever shall look on a woman to lust after her, hath already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matthew 5:27-28. Courtship must not be reduced into a merely carnal engagement, nor must it be based on the idea that married happiness is founded more on physical facts than on spiritual. Love cannot be decided by such experimentation. In fact, this and similar modern ideas are simply the acceptance of the standards of the farmyard and the brute in place of the high ideals of Christ and His church. God intends the intimacies of love for the married only, and those who are only engaged have no right to such liberties. Most people today have lost the horror of sin that should attend and is the natural consequence of practicing true Catholic virtue. The result is that people fall into sexual immorality little by little, and thereby they become blind to its evil results. Those tempted to sexual immorality should reflect upon St. Paul's warning. Quote, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." Galatians 6:7. For everyone who commits sin is in effect trying to mock God and is saying to himself, "I can violate your law and do so without consequences." These people should reflect upon Solomon's wisdom. Quote, "By what things a man sinneth, by the same also he is tormented." Wisdom 11:17. Sexual immorality by couples before marriage tends, 1, to fracture mutual trust, 2, to lead to other bad habits, 3, to promote selfishness, 4, to cause the loss of God's special blessings reserved to the virtuous, 5, to inculcate a callous attitude toward sin, 6, to tarnish and sully the beauty of their relationship, and 7, to lead to a high incidence of divorce. Those courting should realize that the powerful attraction of two people in love was created by God, but to mar it by sin is to invite unhappiness into their lives. Rights of husband and wife. Matrimony is a bilateral contract, the primary purpose of which is, as we have seen, the begetting of children. Therefore, each of the contracting persons has equal rights in everything relating to this object, and each has the duty of respecting the rights of the other. In the use of marriage, husband and wife are absolutely equal. If one desires the debt to be paid, the other is bound in justice to render it. That is the general principle, which does, however, admit of a few exceptions. Quote, "Let the husband render the debt to his wife, and the wife also in like manner to the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And in like manner, the husband also hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud not one another, except, perhaps, by consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to prayer, and return together again, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. 1 Corinthians 7, 3-6. If husband and wife by mutual consent agree not to exercise their rights, they are quite entitled not to do so. If ever it appears necessary to render the debt in order to forestall the danger of unchastity, it is obligatory to pay it. If, however, the purpose of the request of husband or wife is some vicious or unnatural act against the primary object of marriage, it may be the duty of the other to refuse. So long as the purpose of marriage is not frustrated, sexual intercourse in marriage is good and holy. At the worst, there might occur some venial sin of excess. But if marital relations are so exercised that the primary object of the act is frustrated by being performed in an unnatural manner, there is certainly grave sin.